Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Velkommen til ukens vintips. Denne uken så tilbringer jeg litt tid i Champagne. Jeg har vært hos en av mine favorittprodusenter. Ikke uten grunn har jeg besøkt Paul Roger. De har den dypeste kjelleren, den kaldeste kjelleren. De har 9 kilometer med kjellere med full av Champagne. 300-400 000 i noen av hyllene. Så det er enorme mengder. 5 millioner flasker lages under oss her. Vi sitter på trappene av familiehuset sammen med en mann som har vært hos Paul Roger i 8 år, og vi må gå over på engelsk, but we're going to start talking English finally because you don't
Perfect.
Talk. But you
Not
and
yet.
A man
Not
who
yet.
Is responsible that the Norwegian are having Paul Roger to Norway and welcome to our podcast
exactly.
in your own
Thank
vineyards.
You so much.
We're going to have a talk about Paul Roger and the best thing about Paul Roger. So,
Perfect.
For our listeners, please explain what is Paul Roger in Norway and the background for Paul Roger today.
Paul Roger, if there is one thing that anyone should remember about this very fine company is that it's a family business, still in the hands of the family and only dealing with champagne. So that's already a very big rarity to be a family house, but on top of it being only dedicated to champagne, that's something that I've always appreciated, I've always admired very much, and that's one of the very reasons why I wanted to join Paul Roger today. On top of that, and I think I can say that with no arrogance, because I'm not making the wines at Paul Roger, I'm really deeply convinced that there is a benchmark in each category of the wines that we are doing. And if you look at the range, I think it's safe to say that we are producing a very fine non-vintage champagne, which is the priority at Paul Roger, a very fine demi-sec, a very fine zero dosage, a very fine blanc de blanc, very fine brut vintage, which is a mix of Chardonnay and Pinot Noir, a very fine rosé, always vintage, and a very fine prestige cuvée. I think it's very important, and I don't think you can think of so many names that are able to go with a
so
full
wide.
Range.
So wide,
exactly.
Because you have 7 brands.
Exactly.
7, yeah.
Exactly. 7, just like the 7 deadly sins, so you can always find something. And that's very important for us to be able, we're not doing, we cannot be everywhere, we cannot do everything, we can only specialize on a few things, and that's what we've done with the wines. So it's not because there is a new trend that we want to have a new wine necessarily. It really depends on what we want to do, what we want to go for, and what we want to offer. Because we always offer something we believe in. It's not an obsession to be responding to the market. It's an obsession to be able to deliver something which is very good according to our standards, for sure, and to offer something that the consumer will enjoy very much.
But the Norwegian consumer, what do you think of the Norwegian consumer? Because you have, you know, the Norwegian importer are fighting for each bottle because the demand of the Paul Roger have been...
I've heard of it.
Yes. So it's not lack of bottles because you have a lot of bottles, but you need to be very careful because this allocation is, you know, when you have selling 10,000 bottles, you need 12,000 next year. It can't go up because the production is not going higher on Paul Roger. And what you told me in the cellar is that you have, because of family, you have a decent price policy. You want the people to drink Paul Roger to each category.
Yeah.
But what I'm a little bit concerned of is that when you have that kind of branding in the Norwegian market, you have that kind of awareness. One day you have to decide to go from 100 countries to less countries to sell. So please be aware that many people like to the Polar Express, stay in Norway, we're much safer, we have the oil, we have the money. But why is, if you see the, to the total market of champagne, have you, if you go only to your segment of competition, yeah, not to the cheapest one, not to the most expensive, yeah, but you know your competition in champagne, of course. But what is the benefit to be a family-owned, and also what is the constant driver of quality to have that quality? Because if you make 100,000 bottles, as single growers do often, they're making beautiful champagne. They are making to 120 euros or 200 euros, and it's good, you know, big reuse. But they're still producing very less champagne, but you're doing a bigger scale, but not as the biggest one. But how do you reach that kind of quality? But first of all, we need some champagne in the glass.
And I was about to say, there are too many questions at the same time, because I want to answer everything. As I just said,
you can pick out some questions, but
I think it's very important to stick to your values. That's what I said before, but that's something I really do believe in. Let's make sure it's okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
Very good. It's very. It reminds you of Paul Roger.
Yes.
Very good.
Every time we open a bottle, you have to check for our listeners if the bottle is correct. And a correct bottle of champagne on Polish is that it have this liveness, freshness in the aromas. Mm-hmm. And cheers. Nice to be here in Champagne.
Cheers to you.
It's
very
27 degrees and fantastic. But back to the question. What is the thing with Polish after your opinion? Why did it keep this, you know, because this is the first bottle was sold in UK.
In
the start. Yeah. You have a close connection to the UK. Yeah. We're going to go into Winston Churchill afterwards. But what is the key issue when you go into market? Because you're selling all your wines in allocation. You have two little wines to the market. And what is the point? Is the family thing? Or?
Is it a family thing? I think you should ask the consumers. Or the big Paul Roger fans. I think it's a combination of many things. I do think that the family approach reassures lots of people, because they know that it's not only a big conglomerate, a big constellation of brands behind Paul Roger, or just investors. It's a family, so they think of people that are standing behind the labels. And working every day in the vineyards. I don't know exactly what they have in mind, but I think it's part of it. And even if the family members are not necessarily in the vineyards, even if some of them are, it's not only about the very final person that does the work. For example, I'm not from the family, but I've been adopted in some ways. And I think it's very important just to be all serving the same project, which is to make one of the best possible champagnes, again according to our standards, because we have a way of making champagne, and there are many ways to make wonderful champagnes. But with Paul Roger, I think it's a combination of everything. It's top quality, consistent quality. I insist on that, because you can find many producers that are able to make a wonderful champagne or a wonderful vintage from time to time. But on top of that, if you are able to do that all the time, I think it's really something that people admire. And also, we have, since we are not completely obsessed with what the market is asking for in terms of taste, of style, we do what we think is good. And just like when you go to a top brand for a car, for a suit, for anything, if you are going to a specific brand, it's because you are expecting something from this brand, an expertise from this brand. And that's what we want to deliver with Paul Roger. Mm. If the people come to us, we can assure them we are going to deliver them with the best possible Paul Roger champagne, once again, according to our standards, but according to what we know how it should be done by experience.
Yeah.
And because we've seen, just like on any market, there are lots of tendencies of fashions, things like that, which are important and part
you,
of the
you
market.
You think, mean of fashion to like to added things with nothing to do with champagne? For instance, used to be the Lady Gaga thing. The, you know, everything happened. The balloons, yeah. Everything's around it. Yeah. The traditional thing. Okay.
And I have nothing against that. And once again, it's part.
No, but the champagne is a huge area of segments.
Exactly. So exactly. And we all.
But you are a traditional, family-owned company who have the keyword that I try to let you talk. That is the is the dryness.
Dryness. Part,
so this is food-friendly champagne.
It is.
To a reasonable price. We have picked out one of the best sellers in Norway, who is in demand always. But do you mean that if I talk to you and say, okay, how many phone calls do you have to take to reach the family head? Is it one or two?
What do you mean?
How many calls do you have to make to reach the family, to decisions?
At Paul Roger?
Yeah.
How many calls?
Yeah.
Half a call. No, yeah, I mean
it's fast. Are,
I am working with people from the family. Not that's, all of them are working in the business.
The meaning of the question is that you're very so close. Even people work at 60 people in the house. You're working from there. We went through the cellar. You were friends with everyone. Not all the ladies, but you were friends with everyone. But the thing is that this is built by generations.
Exactly.
The cellars is old. The infrastructure is old. The you know, the consistency of taste is good, the clearness of taste, but also you reach out for vineyards, you have the same vineyards, everything is, but the world is changing, you know, the champagne world is changing, the price is going up, it's a change, it was probably going to be very, very tough with Clive, for instance, that decision is made. That's what is your thoughts about that change with climate? What do you think? What do Paul Roger thinks of what will it affect? Because you're thinking long term. We are thinking
definitely.
Now in a fantastic
we only think long term. So thank you for this question because it's a pretty big one. There is no denying that the climate is changing. It's been warming up a lot, and we need to adapt. We will need to adapt, but just like we are adapting every day. And I go back to what we were saying at the very beginning. Champagne started with way more sugar, for example, than today. It was completely different. Yeah. Two different worlds.
To our listeners, before we started this conversation, we are talking about how many years and how old, what kind of champagne did they drink in the old days. And the fact is that the sugar level in champagne have gone down over time. The production have gone up and been an industry, more or less, over the whole world. It's one of the biggest icon names, the word champagne.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that the level of sugar is going down. One is maybe the last 15, 10 years, it have been a no sugar movement, that it should be dry. But also champagne have reached more people into the food business.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, the champagne is could be drink anywhere, you know, in the marketing thing, you know. But in the fact is that Paul Roger is for me, and probably you here also, that is a food friendly, not the higher powered champagne, but easily drinked. It's you take easily glass number two.
Yeah,
easily,
sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
And over some time it's a little bit
very
too
nice
much bottle.
Drinkability.
You do Marlowe, Lochdisk, on all your wines. That means the acidity level is a little bit less.
Yep.
It's a kind of creaminess in
exactly.
wine. So even your old grandmother is, this is good. But in the past, the dosage was higher. So then they covered everything false with sugar. Not Polichia, but many others. And they're taking 8, 9, 10 grams and more with sugars. That means that you have the sensation of wit in your taste. So it's easy drinking, but now you're doing purely with good fruit quality and acidity.
Yeah.
But in the future, what do you think the climate will do? What do you think? Is there something you have
For sure. It's something that everyone's...
You have to remember to drink champagne.
I just did.
Yeah.
I think it's something everyone is concerned with today. But it's not like we are alarmed with that. So don't get me wrong, I'm not fighting for global warming. I think for sure, just like anybody else, it's a catastrophe, and we need to adapt to that. But it's going to be the same for the vines. It has been changing. It's changing. We are talking. It's changing right now.
Yeah.
And that's something which is proper to human human people. And I think the people from Champagne have also proved they were pretty good at that. They've been adapting all the time. So yes, we do have challenges with the climate, but I'm much more worried about the planet than about Champagne. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think it's about
kind of, have climate been in here in Champagne a kind of a hip word, you know, a word which is used in in the past it was dosage. But now it's just the climate. You're having green talk always because it's Champagne will adapt over time because it's a long time business.
But that's why I'm not giving lessons to anyone. For sure they are very 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 burning topics everywhere in Champagne with global warming, but I'm much more, as I was saying, much more worried about how all the people everywhere is very important in this are going to change their habits, are ready to change their habits. Or how are they going to be ready to change them to make things go in the right direction? And then the vines, the wine world, Champagne, everything will also follow that. But I'm much more, and I'm doing this with everything. It's nice to see what's at the end of the chain, but if you want to change things, you need to go way before that. And you can also draw a parallel with our wines. It's nice to be able to produce Winston Churchill, but in order to be able to produce such a nice prestige cuvée, you have to be able to produce
in the glass reserve. Now we have the Brut Reserve, who is in the basic listing of the Monopole, have been there for some years, selling very good and very popular. The only brand with a white label, more or less, who have been consistent with some gold.
You're right.
One of the few who are delivered to the
Buckingham Palace.
Buckingham Palace, and having huge history to United Kingdom.
A little bit.
Yeah. But before now, we are going a little bit to a commercial about wine cabinets, who is very good. But after the, we're going to talk about the icon wine of Winston Churchill. Mm-hmm. The in every article about Polo Chair, you read about Winston Churchill. So you will have now the time to talk to Norwegian listeners. What is this Winston Churchill? Who was the man? How it was coming into the business? But first of all, it's nice to be here, and we will be back after commercial.
Perfect.
Cheers.
Cheers.
And then we are back from a commercial. What do you think of a wine cabinets? Do we have any at home?
What do you mean?
Yeah, in the fridge at your place.
Of course. Yeah. To keep my wines.
How many do you have? One, two, three?
No, I have only one, but I can fit already 200 bottles in there. Yeah.
So you have 60%
For Roger. Yeah. in terms of percentage, it's a very good question. Let me check virtually. I think I have quite a good ratio.
Yeah.
Or maybe 50%.
Yeah.
Or 40% Port Roger, 60% Champagne, because I have friends in Champagne.
So if we are in lack of Champagne, we can call you when you're here in Champagne.
Definitely. Yeah.
Even if we're sitting here under 5 million bottles, we can go home to you. But one of my favorite Champagne in the world is the icon brand Winston Churchill. And official, they are on your websites and the history and told many times. And often the stories is not rechecked and checked by the numbers. But please tell our listeners, what is Winston Churchill and what it means for the brand of Polo Chair today and in the future?
Very good. So, thank you very much for this question too. Because as you perfectly said, Winston Churchill is very important to Paul Roger. I think it's very difficult, if not impossible, to put Bourget on one side and Winston Churchill on the other. I think they are a bit, I mean, especially when you are going through the champagne window.
Because he was here in this garden, sitting, drinking champagne.
No.
He was not.
No, he's never been there.
No.
He promised to come,
yeah.
But he never made it to Epernay. I think he was a little busy. But he invited over several times the Bourget family over to the UK.
But so the family today of Winston Churchill have been here.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
I mean, the connections with the families are very, very strong. It's once again, that's what we were saying before. It's about the people. It's about the people. And so, of course, I'm not going to say it doesn't help with the sales to have a prestige cuvée named after such an incredible character. But in the very first place, it's because the families got along so well that we decided to launch a cuvée named after Sir Winston Churchill. Because that's,
How did it start?
Bourget was his favorite champagne. We still have, I will show you later, we have the first bill of the first order made by Winston Churchill of Bourget. So, and you can see the price on the on it. It was way cheaper at the time.
Way cheaper, yeah.
But still, Winston Churchill was in love
loved
with
it, and then it was
Bourget. And then he met a couple from the third generation, Jacques and Odette Bourget. They met just after the Second World War. Because they were invited by the British embassy in France, and that's where they met, and they made friends, and since then they were not to be separate again, you know. So, and that's what I love about this story, because Winston Churchill was in love with the wine first, but then he get to meet the people. And then they really, really made friends. Mm. And the relationships that we have today are still very, very, very strong. For example, our president, Laurent Darcourt, so the CEO of Bourget, is going over to London to taste the very first bottle of the new vintage of Winston Churchill with the Churchill family.
Mm.
To get the blessing before we put the wine on the market.
So I
love that, because that's, you know, Bourget is about tradition, about values, about respect, about all this. And I think it's embodying that very well. And we've got all the blessings so far, so I hope it's going to continue this way.
Yeah.
But I think it's a nice gesture. That's the least we can do. But
because in the beginning it was a quite small production of Winston Churchill.
Yeah, but it still is very small. Yeah. You know, we are talking about a few dozens of thousands of bottles when we make a vintage. Again, it's not every year, so it's a very rare cuvée. And again, if you want to put only the very best grapes and age it a very long time, it cannot be very, 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 very big.
Mm.
And that's why I'm always also insisting on the rest and starting with Brut Reserve, because I'm a big, big fan of Winston Churchill, and that's the prestige cuvée. But as I always put it, it's the icing on the cake. You know, it's not the cake itself.
No,
it's just the icing.
Yeah.
But very nice, very nice icing, definitely. And also something very, very important, Randolph Churchill, who's coming most of the time to give the blessing, used to be, I mentioned, Christian Paul Roger from the fourth generation, who sadly passed away 2.5 years ago now. Mm. Christian was Randolph's godfather.
Oh,
so it's to show you, it's not, as I was saying, of course, commercially it helps, and we are very proud and
but
very
But is this
very
a commercial agreement today?
No, they don't get any money.
It's a handshake.
Yeah. It's a handshake. Okay. It's a gentleman's agreement, as we call it.
But the Churchill get some wine.
Of course, yes. Of course. We do care about values and respect, and of course we offer a few bottles, but it's not like we are sending two pallets or whatever. No. It's very very small. There are gifts, and they are not expecting that. It's really things that you do, just like what you do with people you love and from your family.
Okay. But if we go to the technical part of Winston Churchill, what kind of champagne is it? If we take away the name and what is the production? I mean, what is the facts about
it? It's a very full-bodied champagne. It's not something I would recommend as an aperitif. To me, it's something that you can really eat with. Or if you don't want to eat with it because you want to enjoy the bottle with a few friends, it's something that... it's a wine... that you should have time with in order to be enjoyed properly, because it's not, and that's why I'm not thinking of the aperitif. I'm much more thinking of, and I'm not even thinking of summer. You know, I'm much more thinking of a darker or colder room. You need to have an armchair to sit to.
Meditation one.
Pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much. That's how I look at it, and that's what I meant when I was telling you I'm not having this this kind of wine on an everyday basis. So I cannot afford it in the first place.
But it's still an expensive wine. But it have the same. Mix of grapes. It have the
no. It's very different because so we are not
completely different from each vintage.
For sure.
But the acidity levels and also the creaminess. So you have some common thing through the wines, but it meant
you have a common thread during. In the whole range, but with Winston Churchill, you have way more concentration. It's very nice because it's an incredible mix of. Of a wine with a lot of finesse and at the same time an incredible power. It's like an iron hand in a velvet glove. You know, that's exactly the nice way to look at it. So meditation wine for sure, gastronomy wine for sure. Regarding the exact blend, it still is a family secret. We are good at keeping
it's
secrets.
Great.
But we do say that we have a lot of Pinot Noir. So it's a big majority of Pinot Noir, which is pretty obvious. A little touch of Chardonnay, only using grapes that were on the vines during the time Churchill was around. So we have a pretty it's a very as I was saying, a very concentrated wine. So that's why I'm not thinking of the aperitif for a second. You need time, and you need to be able to appreciate it. I'm not saying I'm only expecting top connoisseurs to drink it, because I'm not that much about connoisseurs. I respect them and admire them. But even better is what we call amateur in French, coming from the word aimé. So people that are really interested and enjoying something. And even if you are not a top expert, you can enjoy a very nice meat, a very nice fish, a very nice watch, a very nice champagne or whatever. It's just about how people behave going towards the product we are talking about. And but I think they go for Winston Churchill.
But when you're working with Winston Churchill icon wines, and a lot of collectors are coming in, they have a huge history, they've been a great state leader who are behind it and so on. What is the typical myth of the champagne of Bologna with Winston Churchill? Are there any myths who is not truth?
No.
He's not been here.
He's not been here. That's something I can assure you with. No, something something you might not know between Bologna and Winston Churchill, which is to me interesting in the first place, but also very very British. In terms of British humor, very and makes me smile all the time. Winston Churchill was had some race horses, you know, and one of them was called Paul Roger.
Ah, so you have a horse.
You didn't know?
No, I didn't.
Good,
that was
very
new,
good.
New thing we have.
And that, to me, it shows the love. I'm a very passionate person,
yeah.
You know? And when I read things like that, or see or hear things like that, I'm like, that's cool because
guy, yeah.
It's and you see what Sir Winston Churchill embodies with you know, structure, power,
yeah.
Etc. etc. And on top of that, you've got this, and that's why I think it's a very British side to it. It's very funny. He called his race horses. Paul Roger was a very bad horse. He was losing all the time.
Okay.
And he won once the day the Queen was crowned, by the way.
Ah, good.
So everything's connected in a way, you know? Okay. And that's all this
but,
is very powerful.
One thing I've seen in Winston Churchill history is that the special history of what happened with the labourers when he died. And that's kind of special.
It's very special. It's but that's very Poirier once again.
Yes.
When Winston Churchill passed away, the family decided to put a black border on the labels of the Brut vintage, and we kept that for 40 years or something.
40 years.
I think it's tremendous because we found back some labels. That still had it, so it took a lot of time for it to go away. But also because, once again, since the two, I mean, Winston Churchill and Paul Roger are so connected, once again, especially from the Paul Roger perspective, it became, this black border became one of the elements of the label.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It was part...
Two reasons why you have it.
So, exactly. And it's in a way it became one of the markers that you have in mind when you think of a Paul Roger label. So it was a way to pay tribute pay homage to our best ambassador for the brand, who played such a role in the in the history of Paul Roger, and will continue to.
And it's not a commercial history; it's a truthful story still going on. And with that words, we have to end here in the stairs of Paul Roger. It's always nice to be in Champagne. It's the first time for me to be in Paul Roger. We have met for the first time, but I think we have become friends because of some bubbles.
Yeah, for sure.
But,
that's definitely a good excuse.
I need to taste some Winston Churchill to really understand it. But at that time. Thank you for visiting our podcast, and we will see you in Norway. You're going to visit
definitely,
us with the
definitely.
New vintage, and I have one wish.
Please keep
the location to Norway. Okay.
It's funny everybody's saying that.
Yeah.
I'll see what I can do.
Thank you.
I'll do my best.
Nice to have you in your garden.
Thank you.
Garden.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Enjoy.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Ukens vindtips med Svein en Finansavisen-podcast. Programleder Svein Lindin, produsent Lars Brenden Skram, og podcast- og videoansvarlig Marius Mørk Larsen. Ansvarlig redaktør Trygve Hegdar.